Gonna pray for a while. Yeah, Lord, we look to you. Lord, would you, open our eyes again. We want to see you this morning. Lord, we pray for Lyle as he comes to speak. Would you guide his tongue? And would you help him to move in obedience to you this morning as he shares? Lord, lead us this morning to where you want us to go. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Sure. Thank you, Tom, for being obedient there in the spirit. We're going to worship. We're going to go straight back into worship. So don't think we're going to have a massive long preach now. And I do sense this is a very prophetic word for us at this exact moment of what God is doing among us at church. And as you know, our theme, or what God has laid on our hearts for us to do, is to be disciples making disciples. And when Jesus called the disciples, he told them to lay down their nets to follow him, and he would make them fishers of men. And in that, Danny brought this out so well. We see that Jesus first called them to himself. He said, come and be with me. Jesus first called them to himself. He didn't say, just go and without me. He said, I will be with you till the end of the ages. But first, you need to know my presence. First, you need to know my heart. First, you need to know what I am and who I am before you even think about making disciples, you know. And what God is doing prophetically in our church is he's asking us, do we still see him? Yeah. And you know, I just got to catch myself, because I had this preach prepared that was like slides and PowerPoints, and it was amazing. God woke me up at 3 o'clock this morning, and he said, it's wrong. What you had is not what I need for my people. So this word I know is not coming from me. It's not coming from me. So this is something God has for you. And his question is, do you still see him? Do we still see him? And because before we can do anything, before we can go and do anything, we need to know that we see Jesus and we understand who he is. Because when we start to see him, what does he do? He starts just to transform him into his likeness. But we need to see him. And there's a passage I like God laid on my heart. I woke up to this passage. And it's in John 3. I'm going to fight my way through this preach, guys. Bear with me. I'm going to fight my way through this preach. John 3. This is an incredible passage. And in this passage, this is a moment that there is a Pharisee named Nicodemus. He was a ruler. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. This guy is the master over the students. He taught in the synagogues. This guy knew it all. He followed the Torah. He understood what the scriptures said. He understood the prophets of the Old Testament. He had walked in obedience to everything that had ever been given to him as a Jew. And he understood the scriptures and he followed the prophets. Now what happens to him? He starts to see Jesus starts to operate, and the Son of Man starts to reveal who he is. He starts to show the world who he is. In other words, he starts to perform miracles. He starts to perform miracles in that area. Now, Nicodemus has obviously got wind of this, and he started to follow. Now, the Pharisees were the ultimate. They were the ones that delivered the word of God. They were the ones that would point things out to the people. And suddenly this voice was rising up in the region. And Jesus started to speak. And he started to lead people. And he started to perform miracles. And suddenly the Pharisees all started. It was like, you can imagine what's going on here. There's this strange man. And he's drawing people to himself. And no longer are they looking to us, the authority. They're looking to this man. Not only are they looking to this man, but he's also performing miracles. and people's lives were being changed. And these were proper miracles. Unlike had ever been seen. Nothing like this had been seen. Now, what's incredible about Nicodemus is he starts to recognize the Torah. He starts to see the very word of God that he's been taught coming to life. Because he knows a Savior is coming. He can see that Jesus was the Savior of the world was coming. And he was going to present himself at some point. The Jews believed that Jesus would come. And suddenly they start to see the Torah coming to life. He does. And Nicodemus gets challenged to the very core of what he believes, because he shouldn't be seeking out another man. He shouldn't be seeking out somebody. He shouldn't be seeing who Jesus was, the Son of Man. So he asked to see Jesus, but not in the daylight. He doesn't ask for a coffee in town, because a Pharisee should not be seen with this random teacher of time. So let's read John 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night. So you've got to imagine, he sought to have a meeting with Jesus. He comes to Jesus and he says, I want to see you, but I need to see you at night. I need nobody to know that I'm meeting with you. Please, give me a moment with you, but I genuinely don't want anybody to know about it. I just need to sit with you. And I want to wrestle with words. I want to challenge your heart, and I want to challenge who you think you are, because I'm seeing something I can't compute. It's making sense in the Torah, but this shouldn't be happening. And I need to figure out who you are. So he comes to him at night and he says, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher that come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. So the first thing we see about Nicodemus, he sees his God. He sees his God. That's a miracle. This is an absolute miracle that a Pharisee recognized Jesus. And he says, you come from God. No one can do these signs unless God is with him. Jesus answered him. Now just take yourself into this. These are two men sitting at night. They're sitting together at a table. I picture a table somewhere private where they're sitting, and this Pharisee's talking. Jesus says, we read these scriptures out. We all hear them. Imagine being the only person sitting in front of Jesus. Imagine being the only person sitting in front of Jesus. And he says this to this Pharisee. He says, truly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? This is confusing him. It's confusing him. Jesus is saying, unless you're born again, you won't see the kingdom of heaven. This is a man that's lived his whole life to see the kingdom of heaven. He's done everything right to see the kingdom. He hasn't put a foot out of place. He's followed. He's a teacher of teachers. And yet Jesus comes to him and says, unless you're born again, you won't see the kingdom of heaven. So that Jesus answered him, truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. For which is born of flesh is flesh, and which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that what I've said to you. You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So is it with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus is flabbergasted. He's literally flabbergasted. I've got to be born again. I can't I can't be born. I physically can't be born again. And what Jesus was saying to him and what he understood was, Jesus said, your good works, hear this, your good works and the prophets are not enough. Everything we do that we consider to be good works are not enough. Are not enough. Because Jesus is after a transformed heart. A transformed heart. A heart that is born of Him. A heart that has taken out the old heart of flesh and has been given a heart that He has given. That's the only thing He came to do. That was what He was speaking to Nicodemus. This Nicodemus couldn't fathom. He couldn't work out. Because He says in verse 9, He says, Nicodemus said to Him, how can these things be true? How can they be true? Jesus answered him, you are the teacher of Israel, yet you don't understand. Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how would you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And Jesus points to who He is. Then He goes on to say, I'm going to jump to verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son. This is what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus. This is still within that conversation. For God did not send His Son to the world to condemn the world, but in order for the world to be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. And when we look at this, we can see that Jesus wants transformed hearts. He is drawing us to Himself. He was taking Nicodemus, the hardest of hearts, a Pharisee that was staunch in the law and knew his own steps. And He was saying, unless you see Me, unless you see Me, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. Unless you see Me, unless you understand the Son of Man, God has sent Me to deal with sin, not the Romans. He sent Me to deal with sin. He sent Me to deal with the condition of your heart. And I've come with all of heaven. I've come in all My authority to deal with sin and to break sin. But you see what happens when we stop seeing Jesus, sin thrives in our lives. When we stop seeing Jesus, forgiveness becomes too difficult. When we stop seeing who He is, we start to battle with the things of the flesh and this world. And I feel like Jesus is saying to us, He wants to be His presence in our lives again. Because we got saved. And we all got saved. I remember when I gave my life to Jesus. And I was in a meeting. And I felt the Holy Spirit come upon me. And I knew the condition of my heart was wrong. I knew the problem was me. The problem was me. And that there was sin in me and I couldn't deal with it. There's nothing I could do to fix the condition of my heart or the sin that was in me. And Jesus was the answer. And I gave my life into His hands. And I said, I want to give everything I am to You. And as we begin to walk in our salvation, the things of this world start to come in. Stuff happens. And we start to lose the wonder of our salvation. And you know, when I was looking at disciples making disciples and where God wants to take us, we cannot disciple people if we've lost sight of Jesus. We cannot lead somebody anywhere if we have forgotten what it is to follow him. There is no value. Because you know what you'll end up becoming? Do you know, it will be like a Pharisee teaching you to obey rules. And then it's about me observing and asking you questions and trying to lead you by observation when I don't know the very heart of Jesus for you. Because I need a revelation from heaven to know about your life and to know how God sees you in order to disciple you. Because if I can see what Jesus has done and he sacrificed for you, I can tell you now, I'm going to walk with you in a way that is just so committed to his purposes for you that it's got nothing to do with me. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to help you to obey what he is saying to you, not what you need to listen to from me. Does that make sense? Because if you can see Jesus and you can follow him, I can draw, like the Holy Spirit draws alongside us and he's just encouraging us. Go, run, follow him. Did you hear what Jesus said to you? Follow him. When you fall into sin, don't forget what he's called you to. Walk worthy of the calling on your life. That's the sort of discipleship we're talking about. Not a discipleship that goes, hang on, what did you do this week? Oh, you fell again. Oh, you're making my life difficult now. Do you know what I mean? I was planning on having a nice evening and now I've got to come. Do you see what I mean? The heart posture. But if I see you for what Jesus sees you and what he did for you and you fall, I want to get there because I want you back on your feet again. Because he died for you. He died for you. There's no price that we can pay to see you back restored in him. We cannot lose the wonder of the cross. We cannot lose understanding who he is or seeing him, because his presence is what we need. We need to be following him before we start leading others. Now the thing is, with our salvation, I mean, I tell you, this is how we can see Jesus maybe practically. And I give you an example. Last year, I'm coming in for a landing and it's 11 o'clock, but we're going to worship. You guys ready for this? We're going to worship and we're going to just flow with what God wants to say. We had a prayer meeting on Tuesday. And during our prayer meeting, Jesus came to show us who he was. And we called on the name of Jesus. And he's the name above all names. He's the name above every situation. He's the name above sickness. He's the name above anything that you're going through. He's the name above every other God. Anything that rises up in your life, that puts itself in front of him, he's the name above that thing. Yes, yes. And when we started to see that, as we worshiped, we went into a season, we went into a moment of repentance. Which is like, God, like, we've got this thing wrong. We've got so many things wrong. In my life, God was going, you think you're wise. You think you're wise. There's so much pride in your heart, Lyle. Have you lost sight of me? I paid a price you couldn't pay. I died for you in a way and did something for you that you'd never be able to do for yourself. How can you think you're proud? How can you think you know anything? But it happens as we get saved, isn't it? We start to learn stuff. We get knowledge and we start to puff ourselves up. We think, actually, I got this. And actually, the Word of God, if everything in the Word of God, if you look at it, it's like, I don't have this. How can I posture myself to God? Like, I've learned everything you've given me. I've got this. I can walk through any wall. I can, like, you think you're amazing, but actually under the word of God, you go, Lord Jesus, it's all you. I've got nothing. I've achieved nothing. I can do nothing outside of you. I don't know where I was going, but oh yeah, I was telling you a story. One of the ways God revealed himself to me last year in July when we came off the conference. And in my job, I've spoken a lot about my work over the months. But in my job, I was working, and Laura and I mean, we rent, and I was like, I really want to buy a house one day. And so I started to throw everything into my work. I really started to focus on my work. And God led me into a lot of success at work. And I remember sharing at the community group, I got a promotion, and it was wonderful. And they upped my salary, and everything was going brilliant. And I looked beyond my promotion, and I started to see, actually, I could get the next level. I could actually climb this level. And in my heart, I'm going, oh, I can get the house. Oh, I can just, this is it. I'm gonna get everything I've wanted. And my eyes moved from Jesus as my provider and onto my job as a provider. And then the Lord spoke to me last July, and he said, I want you to lay your job down. Sure. And I turned to the elders, and I was like, guys, I'm in a place of favor. Like, genuine, there's favor at my work. I can sense God's place favor on me. I can get what I've wanted. I can get it. But he's told me to lay it down. He told me to give it to him. And I went to the elders, and I went to close friends, and I said, guys, I need to lay my job down. I need to lay my job down. It's become too important to me. It's become my identity. It's become who I am. And it's become my provision. And God said, lay it down. So I said to God, look, there's no other jobs that I could do. There's nothing I could do. Anyway, God led me to a job that's like 20 minutes from my front door. And it's less money than I'm on. And he said, that's the job. That's the job for you. So I was like, my notice period is 6 months. I was like, these guys aren't going to wait for 6 months, but I'll be obedient. I went for the job. I got the job. And they said, look, we don't mind waiting 6 months for you. And I had to lay it down. And I start that job in 3 weeks. But what I'm not trying to say anything about me. Please hear my heart. He said, we've got to keep seeing Jesus. We've got to keep seeing Jesus in our life. What has he revealed about himself to you lately? What is he asking you to lay down? What are the areas of your heart that you've got to put before him and say, this is yours. This thing's become too important to me. That's what God's calling us. You see, our salvation, the Bible says, we must work out with fear and trembling. We need to work it out. We need to work this thing out. We mustn't lose the wonder of the cross. Because if we don't see him anymore, we don't have anything. And I'm just going to close with that. And I'm going to ask Sue, had a word for us on Tuesday night. And I just wanted her to share it. Sue, if you don't mind, I have cleared this with Sue before this moment. Oh, good. Good. Come here. This is after our prophetic time at Connect. This is a word that I believe encapsulated everything that we did on Tuesday.
I don't know if I need this microphone, really. I've got a bit of a foghorn voice. Hello, everyone. So when we were together on Tuesday evening, God gave me a picture that he was saying was certainly relevant for me, but relevant for many people. So it was a picture of some good, old, strong walking boots. And these boots, they have walked many miles over rough ground, over hard circumstances, through a fallen world. And these boots have become dry and cracked and sort of stiff and worn looking. In an ideal world, at the end of each busy day, those boots would have been lovingly restored back to, you know, pristine condition. But this hasn't happened. Maybe sometimes, but nothing like enough. But God says, these boots need soaking in me, like soaking. They need soaking in my oil. This leather can become really soft and supple again. The cracks will mend. The weatherproofing will return. And I invite you, I call you, I need you to soak yourself in me again. I can restore you to your former glory. And honestly, we have things to do. And I need you to be as good as you were before. I love you. You are my plan. I have no spare boots. It is you. And I have everything you need to be restored totally, to be full of that vitality and passion and depth of love, commitment, and just everything that you had before. And so that is his cry to many of us.
Amen. Wow. What an analogy. God really helps us put these things in perspective. Can the worship team come up? Let's worship. We're all going to worship now. And I think during as we worship, there's a call here. And I think if you understand that word that Sue's just brought, and that's you, I want you to come up as we worship. But we need just to know that you want prayer, because I feel like we need to pray to restore. And do you know what this call is? This call is about seeing Jesus again. This call is about seeing him again. And it's about living with his presence in your life. And do you know, life happens and things happen. And the enemy's so subtle in the way he does it. He shifts our hearts slowly until we're doing church. Until we're doing stuff. I mean, Malcolm shared, we're spinning plates. We're serving and we're doing all these things without Jesus. But he's calling us back to himself again. He's calling us back to himself again. So if that's you, I think come forward. The leaders here, we're going to pray over you. Even if you're a leader and this is for you, come forward. This word, God has worked through my heart. This is something I've worked through, I've responded to. So I don't want to make it like I'm having a call here because I'm all right. I had to work through this word. I had to work through this restoration. So if that's you, I want you to come and let us pray for you. And perhaps maybe you actually need to recommit your life back to Jesus. This call is also for you. If it's actually time where you realize, I've walked away from him. I knew him once and I was at church or it was a thing, and I need to recommit my life back into his hands. I want to come back to him and ask him to be Lord and Savior of my life again. Then that's for you as well. And in particular, if that's you, then I want you to come and tap me while we worship and say, please pray for me, you know, or speak to anybody that you've come with or who you know, and come, let's pray together. But let's stand and worship. Let's stand and worship.